We're in Esther 9, verse 20. I'll read the first three verses and then I'll go through more in the course of the sermon. Esther 9, verse 20. Then Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews who were in the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to celebrate the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same month annually. Because on those days, the Jews rid themselves of their enemies, and it was a month which was turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and rejoicing and sending portions of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for celebrations. We thank you that there's much to celebrate in your world. There's much to celebrate for Christians, our Lord Jesus and all that he has accomplished, Father, in our redemption. And Lord, we do honor you and thank you and pray, Lord, that our hearts would be joyful, that we would in all times rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We just held a celebration here at the house recently that's not mandated by Scripture anywhere. Certainly not unscriptural, but there's nothing in the Bible that, you meet at the pastor's house occasionally and do anything. But we took a time to reflect on the goodness of God for my family after a time of sickness, that we were better. And, it's just something you do out of principle. But nothing in the Bible. The bomb pie is not even mentioned in the Bible. Mountain Dew is not mentioned in the Bible. And still, I enjoyed it, and I think it clearly is within the bounds of biblical teaching, such as this passage in Esther that is about celebrating. Holidays really are of God. Not all of them, obviously, but holidays are of the Lord. The Lord loves for his people to rejoice, but beyond that, he even commands it. He mandated festivals in the Jewish calendar. Three times a year they would travel. And these festivals kept God at the center of the life of the nation. And these festivals commemorated the works of God. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread commemorated Israel's exodus from Egyptian bondage. This was a yearly thing. This is a big thing. The Passover, obviously, is foreshadows the blood of Christ. And when the Father sees the blood of Christ, he passes over us, he forgives us our sin, and sees us as righteous. Feast of the First Fruits and the Feast of Pentecost and these harvest types of feasts are celebrating the Lord providing for them. First Fruits, Pentecost is the first part of the harvest, and then the Feast of Tabernacles celebrates the time they were in huts in the wilderness. The Day of Atonement is a big day when the priests would enter the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice for the sins of Israel. That, of course, was fulfilled by Christ on the cross. The veil of the temple was torn in two. That veil was shattered because now the people were right through the blood of Christ and not through the blood of the priest that the priest brought. In their most pure form, a holiday commemorates something good from the Lord. We celebrate birthdays. That's life. I don't think, even if it's just, personal things we've gone through, when we graduated, when we got married, our birthdays, our kids' birthdays, all kinds of things we can celebrate. Nothing wrong with that. We have Easter. that we celebrate. We have Thanksgiving, which encapsulates Thanksgiving in one day. In November, we have Christmas, which is, not really a parallel in Jewish festivals, but we commemorate the birth of Christ, the incarnation, a very biblical teaching. It's the nature of the world to subvert righteousness in holidays. The world seems not to be able to stand a religious significance to a holiday because they're all changed. Easter's changed to the bunny rabbit, Thanksgiving's changed to turkeys, and Christmas has changed to Santa Claus. It's like the pure, holy, righteous aspects of holidays. The world doesn't like that. The world is much happier ignoring God than celebrating, especially the work of Christ. And so the world recognizes that celebration is equal to approval. When you celebrate something, you approve of it. Your team wins a national championship, you celebrate, you approve of that. If they lose, you seldom see celebrations because they don't approve of that. It was a means of keeping something important before you. When you get married, you better remember your anniversary. You got to keep that before you. When I had that briefcase, I would put the anniversary date in the combination and my wife's birthday. So, you got to remember these things. But the world wants to mess all that up. And depending on the inclination of the world to righteousness or to wickedness, you get a whole different taste of holidays. I looked up how many LGBTQ celebratory days there are in the calendar. And of course, LGBTQ is not a biblical or righteous thing. It is condemned in Scripture. So really, every celebration of it, and we understand lost people do lost people things, but every celebration of it is celebrating that which God has said is perverse and evil. There's a lot of things perverse and evil that people do. It just seems like we're never satisfied as a society doing the common sins. We want to push it even farther, and that's, LGBTQ has 3 whole months that are designated as LGBTQ observances. Of course, we all are very aware of this because they're very important to us. Bisexual Health Awareness Month is in March. The month of spring. Pride Month is in June. LGBT History Month is October. One additional month for Californians, Transgender History Month, which is August. So you got, a fourth or a third in California of months given to immorality, perversion. And you got a day for Thanksgiving. You got a day for Christmas. You got, a day for Easter. And as I said, even those are often redefined as, winter solstice day or, whatever. So holidays are significant in uplifting something and making us aware and tied to good things, or in this case, bad things for a lot of observances. So, as opposed to righteous observances that conform to the will of God and delight of God, there are immoral observances which are only possible when wickedness abounds. We would not have had these transgender days, LGBTQ days, all those things, 50 years ago. Because the righteousness, the attitude, the, philosophy of life, the worldview of people was not for that. Now there's a whole lot more of that, a lot of weak politicians, a lot of spread of these things in the media. So, we're in a day when it's much worse as far as people's attitude toward righteousness. But we shouldn't clump those kinds of celebrations in with those which are not evil. And in our text tonight, we have Mordecai making sure that the days of their deliverance from their enemies, in Adar, in the 12th month, the 13th day, and the 14th in Susa, are celebrated every year. And they still do at Purim in Israel. So it was the focus then to have a righteous celebration, because people like to party for nothing, but you can't just party and please the Lord in anything that's done. It is really the best to do that in the will of God. And that's what we have here. Hopefully, these evil celebrations are tapering off. I keep seeing headlines. I don't think Pride Month was as proud as it usually is for the Pride people. A lot of things are changing. Unfortunately, I'm afraid a lot of that is changing on the basis of, who's the president. And I want it to change more for, the Lord. And we'll see. Hopefully, we'll pray that that happens. But as soon as the Jews were delivered, Mordecai cemented the day in Jewish history. I left off in verse 22 and didn't read farther. But see, in verse 22, he says that they should make those days of feasting and rejoicing and sending portions of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Similar to what we saw in Nehemiah. There was a celebration and a liberality and a gladness together, like down here when it snows, everybody's spirit gets up a little bit. It was that way in Tryon when I was growing up. And just it was a happy time. So this is a happy thing. The Lord has done something. We should always be thankful. We should always think about it with fondness, and it should make us happy of what the Lord has done. You see, all through the Old Testament, where Israel, when they go through all their things, all the sufferings that they go through, that they are always to be remembering the Lord brought them out of Egypt. If they would remember that the Lord brought them out of Egypt, it would flavor everything else that they had to face. When they're down, the Lord brought you out of Egypt. The Lord brought you through the wilderness. The Lord brought you over the Jordan, through the Jordan on dry ground and into the Promised Land, and all of these things were to keep your spirits up and your focus upon the Lord. And so this is what Mordecai, who's now in power, says should happen. So it says in verse 23 that the Jews undertook what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the adversary of all the Jews, had schemed against the Jews to destroy them and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to disturb them and destroy them. When it came to the king's attention, he commanded by letter that his wicked scheme, which he had devised against the Jews, should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur, and because of the instructions in this letter, both what they had seen in this regard, and what had happened to them. The Jews established and made a custom for themselves and for their descendants and for all those who ally themselves with them, so that they would not fail to celebrate these 2 days according to their regulation and according to their appointed time annually. So they put it on the calendar. Things get on the calendar. Things are on the calendar today that weren't on the calendar 25 years ago. One of the LGBTQ months of Obama put on the calendar. So they come in on the calendar. If you look at your phone calendar, it's going to have all kinds of days on the calendar that are pretty new. People are always trying to add things to the calendar. You don't just have President's Day anymore, and here and there, and in February, you have all kinds of other people we don't like that get on the calendar. So this happens, pretty much at some point every day on the calendar will be a holiday. The Southern Baptist fell into that. My friend, I think I told you this, my friend went through the calendar once, this is years ago now, went through the church calendar, and about half the year of Sundays was some Southern Baptist recognition thing. So 50% for programs in the and divisions in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's overkill. But the world wants to push this, and especially LGBTQ stuff, things like that. They want to push these things to make them normalized, to where people see them as good because they're on the calendar. We're to celebrate them, to rejoice in them. George Washington, father of our country. Well, that was, and then you got President's Day and Lincoln in the same general area. And these are important presidents, and that people want to honor them. Mount Rushmore, you got some presidents' heads up there. That's the intention was to honor them. So the recognition of these things is to hold us to a line, to remember things. So this is what they do. They put it on the calendar and they make it, a joyful time. So these, verse 28, these days were to be remembered and celebrated throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city. And these days of Purim were not to fail from among the Jews, or their memory fade from their descendants. In other words, it is so important what God had done for them. They were under the gun before guns were there. They were under threat of their enemies, and they got out. It's big. The pressure they were under, it's like once you get out of that and you're in a place of salvation, you've been delivered from that, it's just rejoicing. And these are things you shouldn't forget. So they put them on the calendar. They made them to go from every generation. Queen Esther, verse 29, daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai, the Jew wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter about Purim. Now you remember in Susa they fought for 2 days and celebrated the next day, and out in the other areas they fought one day and celebrated the 14th. So the 14th and 15th are both included. And so it says in verse 30, he sent letters to all the Jews, the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, namely words of peace and truth, to establish these days of Purim at their appointed times, just as Mordecai, the Jew, and Queen Esther had established for them, and just as they had established for themselves and for their descendants, with instructions for their times of fasting and their lamentations. The command of Esther established these customs for Purim, and it was written in the book. And pretty impressive that it's still going on today. In this particular case, it was a celebration of the deliverance of the Jews. The previous festivals all were, regarding redemption for the most part, and harvest things, the Lord's blessing of giving them, produce in the land and such as that, or his, and those things typified also salvation and the work of Christ. So the significance of this becomes apparent when we consider how we spurn the things God designs for our good. Now, this is a characteristic of sinful nature, is that people when they're commanded to have a festival. In Israel, they would skip them for generations. They wouldn't do them. They're supposed to have, this festival, and they skipped it for years and years and years. They didn't think about it. The Lord's Day was that way. The Lord's Day is a good day. It's for the benefit of mankind. To keep you from working yourself to death, making every day a day of commerce. The Sabbath was a day where you didn't work. You rested in honor of the Lord. You thought about the Lord. You kept in touch with the Lord. You focused on, not commerce. And they spurned that. They ignored that. The length of time they were in the wilderness really was part of their punishment for the way they behaved coming out of Egypt. And later on, the exile was tied to the fact that they'd not kept their Sabbaths. So we spurn the things which are good for us. Not just Israel. The church is given by God to benefit believers. And yet, Hebrews wrote, the writer of Hebrews, that there were those who were forsaking the assembling of themselves together, and that was a habit among people. Well, it's a good thing. Church is a good thing. Of course, if you have no interest in it, if your heart's not with the Lord, then it's just not interesting, the word and fellowship and all that. But people will just ignore it. It's a day that you, for most people, if they go to church, they do it to bribe God and try to make him, be kind to them. And they don't do it often because they want one time to go a long way. So they're not really, they do forsake the assembling of themselves together, and it is a habit. Of course, that is addressing the Hebrews. There are a lot of Hebrews who are on the fence with Christ, and so they weren't pushing to know Christ. But it goes to all the church. It's always been that way. You get a lot more people at a ball game than you will at a church, especially if you talk about doctrine. The Bible says that we're to delight in the Lord. Well, the Lord is delightful. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. And yet many delight in the world and love the world, and they do not love the Lord, and they act as enemies of God. And yet to be able to delight in the Lord, that's the fact that we've been, reconciled to God. There's no greater gift to us than to be reconciled to God, to delight in the Lord, to be able to look at the Lord and know that in Christ we are innocent, forgiven of our sins, and that we can delight in the Lord. And there's much to delight in the Lord. People in the world have, good and bad parts. The Lord has no bad parts. People in the world are finite. Their good can only go so far. Not the Lord. The Lord is infinitely good. The Lord is beautiful. In this world, we have beauty in physical form, and we appreciate that. But there is beauty in the Lord that is deeper, spiritual, in truth. It goes farther. And so David talked about, being in the house of the Lord and beholding the beauty of the Lord. Well, he wasn't seeing the Lord. He was seeing what the Lord was like. And it was beautiful. The Lord gives us delight in things. He gives us, he could have given us food that was tasteless, just for our sustenance. Well, he gave us taste buds. He gave flavor to food. He made eating a pleasant experience. This is the way the Lord is. Marital union is to be viewed as enjoyable, and yet how many make a mess of that? Proverbs 5:18, let your fountain be blessed, rejoice in the wife of your youth as a loving hind and graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, be exhilarated always with her love, for why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? And yet, how often do we see, marriages not delight in one another, when that's, we're to be, mutually given to the good of the other, as God intended. Holidays are intended to woo us away from the vanity of the world. We're to, come aside, keep our hearts away from being, entwined with the world. And holidays are often corrupted to make us love the world more. But truly, the celebration here that Mordecai and Esther mandate, it's a pure holiday, really a holy day, not something to do as we would do for us only. But I've had many holiday celebrations, as you have. Coming up, we were at my grandparents' house every Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. My mom's side didn't meet as often on my dad's side. And we got together and we ate. Watched football in the fall. It was fun. Food was good. Good to see everybody. It was nice. And it might seem needless to command the observance of festivals, because if they're festivals, it's like commanding someone to have fun. They already want that. But any good thing can be discarded and disowned and be distracted. We can be distracted from it. And then we lose the joy of it. And then we don't even want the joy of it anymore. We're too busy with the world. As always, true and lasting joy is a product of the will. You can't just, follow your feelings on it. It's the same thing that the Lord told Cain. If you do what is good, your countenance will be lifted up. We maintain that by the will. You can bet that what's good for you will not have time to do unless you make time for it. Unless you make it a priority, it doesn't just free itself up. So it was important in what Mordecai was doing to state the days. Here's when it's going to happen. How often it's going to happen? It's going to happen every year. We can't forget this. This is something great. We were in mortal danger. Well, now we got out of it. You see David all the time in the Psalms. He's in trouble, but then the Lord got him out of it, and he sings a song. It's fitting for that. The burden falls off of us, and we are happy. We rejoice. The woman lost the coin, and she swept her house and found it, and then she calls her neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me because I found what was lost." This is proper. Now, our celebration, biblically speaking, can never be against the Lord. We can't really have hostility to God and have a proper celebration in any worldly thing. That doesn't mean that all our celebrations are religious. They certainly aren't. Nor do they have to be. But we can't, we don't move away from God to go to a party, or we don't party in a displeasing manner to the Lord. Paul told us in Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always. There's two parts to that, if you'll remember. There's the rejoicing part and in the Lord part. There are people who rejoice in other gods, and that's the in the Lord part. But the rejoicing part in the Lord is serious. The Lord wants us to rejoice in Him. He wants us to be happy in Him. We like for people to be happy with us. Husband likes or should like for his wife to be happy that she's married to him, and the wife, be glad in like fashion, if her husband delights in her. And so there's just a natural thing in that. And so we are to rejoice in the Lord. The Lord's full of grace and mercy, even to his enemies. He tells us to love our enemies. He sets the example, and he sets a high bar for that. Many who are facing eternal darkness are in this world today, still alive, and they're enjoying the bounty of God. God is blessing and loving his enemies. They are eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And he's giving them eat, drink, and be merry because he's a compassionate God. They have many blessings, many happy times. The Lord is good to them without even being in covenant with them in Christ. They're still outside of his family. They are still hostile to God. They're alienated from God, and yet God gives them many good things. One of the messages of Hosea was that while Israel was pursuing other gods and exhibiting or crediting them for their blessings, it was the Lord himself who was blessing them. He was lavishing. Hosea said he lavished on them grain and new wine, silver and gold, which they used for Baal. So in that case, God's blessing wicked people. He knows what they're going to do with it. They used his blessing for Baal. But the Lord is infinitely long-suffering and patient. We see it all through Scripture. Lightning doesn't strike as soon as something improper is done. People get to where they don't even believe in God because he doesn't judge them quickly. He gives them space to repent. That's the Lord. Lord's mercies, though, do have a limit. And that's why it's important for us to understand the purpose of a holiday to draw us to Christ. Passover is to show us Christ. These festivals are to point to Christ, that he provides our spiritual sustenance. Hosea 2:9, therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time. This is, they persisted in unbelief, and my new wine in its season, and will take back my wool and my linen given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease. Her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all her appointed feasts, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, they are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals, to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, says the Lord. That's Hosea 2:9 through 13. God blessing them, God giving them things, and they credited Baal for it and pursued other gods. However, even in the verses that follow, I'm not reading, but the verses that follow Hebrews or Hosea 2:14 and on show the Lord wooing Israel back. That's how the Lord is. So, we don't have a biblical mandated feast day to celebrate. That was the old covenant. Our holidays are, basically our focus on Christ. We remember things. We have, the Lord's Supper. We remember the death of Christ. That's, not a national. I mean, we're past the national feast days and the requirements of the old covenant. We'll see that more in Colossians as we go through, Lord willing, the rest of that book. But we're to rejoice always. We always have a cause for rejoicing because we have Christ. Always rejoice in the Lord. Always rejoice in the Lord always. Doing the will of God is a feast in itself because we're made for that. We are in our own according to the design when we walk with the Lord. He takes us on pleasant paths. There's an old Star Trek episode. Not all the old Star Trek episodes are good. I just like the concept. A lot of them are good. Some of them are silly. But you get some sermon illustrations out of them. And there's an old Star Trek episode. They had an encounter on a planet. Everybody was just calm and peaceful. But at 6 p.m., every once in a while, red hour would hit. Red hour was, I guess it's like, happy hour in a bar. It lasted more than an hour. It lasted 12 hours, and people went crazy. They attacked each other. It was unbridled revelry. And then at six, they would go back to being sedate. If you want to see it, it's in the first season, some like the 20-something episode. But they go crazy wild. They would be completely different. Many people consider parties a justifiable time to be immoral because of them, it's a party. All our celebrations must keep Christ in the center of our lives, and all festivals are under his control and subject to his will. And then church is going to have different holidays, and we have homecoming. And I mean, there are things that we do to remember the blessings of God, and that's perfectly fine and good to do, never to forget. But what a great God we serve, who even commands our rejoicing because he knows what's good for us. He wants our heart to be light and not burdened. He takes our burdens. Our problems come from the things we heap upon ourselves. When we go a way that is not in the way of God, we heap upon ourselves hardship. We self-destruct. And the Lord is very kind. And even as he speaks to us of eternal life, he will one day take us to be with him and give us eternal joy. We have foreshadowing of that here on earth because our Lord is so kind. Let's pray. Lord, as we celebrate today, it's important to our country. Well, we have to also consider that our country is of you. The blessings that our forefathers recognized as from you, and the things that you've given, and the uniqueness that this country is, with all of our problems, Lord. We pray you would mend our every flaw, and there's a lot of them. I pray, Lord, for those who are leading our nation now, that you would make them to lead us in the way that is pleasing to you and our churches, or that we would always worship in spirit and in truth, and rejoice in the Lord always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.